Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Heavy is the Crown this season, season two of The Crown, right here. Check out episodes 3 and 4 with us. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Royals is an appropriate song.
So okay.
Because it would be something like about a queen if it was this season was only about the queen.
Right.
But this season is so about the entire family that the I feel royal. Like royals. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel you. I like this pick. Yeah. I like it.
Well, Good choice. I'm glad
you guys think that because you're new to the panel. So you don't really have a choice. But I would love to introduce... I would love to introduce the new members of the panel. We're so used to being alone.
Yes.
But this year, we have two additional members to the Crown panel.
Blood.
Exactly. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, everyone. My name's Alina Vision. You can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision. And I'm super excited to join the panel. This is one of my favorite shows. Yeah,
I feel like voice is an excited voice. You definitely should be a radio DJ. And then, of course, to her right.
Hey, guys. What's up? My name is Nakia Monet. And you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. Don't judge my name. I'm really happy to be here with you guys. I'm excited.
You know, usually I'd be like, Kiki Boom Boom, what? But it seems aptly appropriate.
Bring the boom. I'm just here for the boom.
This is going to be a fun panel. And of course, to my left.
Hello, everybody. It's Sahai. You can find me on all social media at Say Hi Sahai.
And that's right. And I am Teron, literally at I am Teron, all across the panel. Say Hi and I are Elizabeth and Philip on this panel. This is us. Like, and now we have two additional members. And let's have fun with this season, episodes 3 and 4, Lisbon and Beryl.
I love them.
Did you love them?
I really love them. We'll start with episode 3. Episode 4 was really my
favorite. I was going to say 4 was my favorite.
You told me to pace myself last time.
4 was the Solange Beyonce episode where all the girls were like,
I was like, come through, baby Margaret. It's your time to shine.
Yes. Exactly. And that is the thing.
She is the black sheep and the rebel of the family.
Yes.
She is. But let's start with episode 3, which is Lisbon. And I wrote something down because I think that there are many stories in each episode besides just history and politics, which we're all, of course, aware of. There's the story of Elizabeth the Queen.
Right.
Where, the story of Elizabeth the person.
Mm-hmm.
There's the story of Philip the Duke.
Right.
The story of Philip the person.
Mm-hmm.
And the love story of Elizabeth and Philip, which obviously is tormented to some extent. The hate story of Mike and Aline. And the story and the rise and fall of Anthony Eden, which we also see in this episode.
Hashtag karma.
The most important one is the story of the crown. And I like how you brought up karma. Because if you remember leaving episode 2, we realized that Anthony Eden, in his own haste for power, colluded with Israel and France to the falter and failure of the Suez Canal affair, which leaves Britain, which is the world's foremost superpower, in an even more precarious situation, and leads, of course, to the United States' rise as the reigning superpower up till today. We'll see what happens. But as of right now, so... What did you guys get from the overallness of episode 3?
Well, first of all, Anthony should not have gone to Jamaica. And what amazed me was how...
Bumba Clock!
Those are my people, as I said last year. So, but you see how all his homies turned against him. And he was so mad. I thought he was going to make himself sick again. How upset he got upon his return, seeing that all the cabinet was basically like, it's time for you to be out. Just like how he kind of wanted Churchill out. Then here he goes with karma again. Being pushed out by his own peers that initially supported him. So that
Well, they actually egged him on. And that's what was interesting.
I smiled. Only because I'm just here for karma and people treating people the right way. And whatever your thoughts and views were of Winston Churchill, it's like no one had his back.
Right.
And when Anthony came in, he thought that they were going to have his back. And it was like, no, you got to go. And it's like no one stood up for him. No one had his back. So I thought that was karma. That was definitely
he did. He did shady things.
He's so shady.
Very much so.
But did he, though? See, in the realms of the show, sure. But in the realms of politics, there are no friends or permanent enemies in politics.
That's true. And that's what one of the cabinet members did say. There's no justice in politics.
There is no justice in politics. And that's because it's all about the moment, especially what's the best for me and what's the best for us simultaneously. So we see that Harold McMillan takes that mantle, and he actually is the first person who was egging on Anthony Eden. And then he was the first person to be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because it worked to his advantage. Like, he was like, I'm about to move up. See ya. Yeah.
About to be the new prime minister.
Exactly.
Because that is the role of the prime minister. It's you're the lead. So your decision's the one that matters. Right. Everyone else is really basing it on your decision.
Right.
And you guys all think, all three of you,
what now?
Believe that Anthony deserved his fall from grace?
You know what I think? I think if he wasn't so shady to Winston Churchill and treated him the way he did, I think it would have been a different feeling. I probably would have felt bad, like, damn, this is kind of messed up. You know, he thinks he's doing his job. But I think the way he treated Churchill, who he worked under, it was just like, come on.
Right.
Do we feel bad for you, Anthony?
And it's not that I don't feel bad for him, but it's like, I feel like Elizabeth kind of had an inkling that something was wrong, and I liked the way she handled it. When he approached her and said, I have to put in my resignation, she was like, I just need you to take responsibility for your actions. And she was like, listen, I get it. Like, you wanted to make an impact. I see what you were trying to do. Just own up to it and move on. And, and it shows that she may not have deliberately agreed to, I mean, she did support him, but she also saw the bigger picture. You know, she may not have understood what the whole situation was going to do to the country as a whole at the time, but she understood afterwards, like, listen, just own up to it and move on.
Right. She was very empathetic. She was empathetic towards what his justification for the attack was, not just politically, but personally.
She actually said, history is not made by those who do nothing.
I loved that line.
I really loved that line. I think it showed her empathy, but also her understanding that, like, you know, you got to do something.
Well, then someone should have told Elizabeth about sit-downs and protests. Anyway, here's the thing about Anthony Eden. He goes to Jamaica, comes back, and the press is out to kill him. People are booing him. No one is happy with him. Do you feel that Anthony Eden's trip to Jamaica egged this on?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, here it is. Everyone's freezing cold. They don't have any gas for their cars. Mm-hmm. The shelves are empty. And Anthony is having fun in the sun, you know, eating and drinking pina coladas.
Sounds familiar.
I don't know how I know about those things. But so, yes. And it's like similar situations. Yeah. And that's what I love about the show. Like, historically, we see that history definitely repeats itself.
Right.
And for me, I'm watching as someone watching this show, which is a representation of historical, like an interpretation of the historical facts. So that's kind of what I base it on, because I'm not a historian per se, but I definitely see the similarities, which is great.
Similarities of what's happening now.
Yes.
Interesting. Guys, I don't want to get deported, so I but let's go on to the beginnings of where we see Elizabeth come in. We see Elizabeth, and we actually see more of the children so far. So we see more of Charles, we see more of Anne. We also learn that Elizabeth, at the end, wants more children.
Yes, yes, I found that very interesting.
Why?
Because, now we're going to the next episode four, are you okay?
No. Okay. Are you seeing it in episode four? Because I want it.
Okay, so, well, the explanation about how it affects her and her reasoning for wanting kids is in episode four. So that's what
I'll hold on.
You'll allow me to?
We'll allow it.
Okay. When Mike was talking to Prince Philip and saying, listen, of course she's going to want more children, because when she looks at Charles, it's like looking at death, because in order for him to rise, she has to die. So her relationship with her own son is not very,
very
traditional.
Cold.
Yeah. It was very cold.
And that's what I've noticed that the entire show. And I thought, I saw in the first two episodes, she warmed up a little bit, but now it explained exactly why she was colder. But I initially thought she just wasn't able to show love to her children, but now I see why there
that's
was
why I love this scene when she's with the kids and she's it's a little playful, but she's teaching
in
them
in the beginning
and she's talking about where dad is at that moment. So I love seeing that, because it showed like a human side to Elizabeth a little bit with the kids and knowing how cold she was to Charles. I thought it was adorable.
See, but even I took that scene differently.
Yeah. Even at that, she was shown with them, but it still wasn't as warm, I feel, as like
how Philip is with them.
Well, of course, they're still part of the royal family. There's still there's still protocols and everything. Right. But what I saw in that scene wasn't so much her motherly affection, but her growth as a person who's actually learning about geography, something she wasn't really well versed in. She's learning about and also keeping tabs on her man. Like, oh no, daddy's here. I mean, this is her before. Kingdom. This is before checking in. You know, like, oh. Daddy's here,
but
and it better be by himself,
right? Well, we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had some.
But I like she's like, can you put the picture by their bed so they can remember what Dad looks like when he comes home?
Definitely. Like, and but you know, she used the globe, and I remember in season one, it was she requested to have additional education. Her mother didn't think it was important to her. So, unlike with her sister, I read that. They were like, oh, she's the youngest one. She's never going to be on the throne. She doesn't really need to learn much. Education continues to be an important theme for Elizabeth. So we do see her knowledge grow.
I like that.
Which probably sets a precedent for women of the era. Yeah. Is that this modern queen is doing very modern things. Yes. And we see a growth of very strong British women coming to the culmination of a prime minister, Margaret Thatcher. Mm-hmm. Right. Who would have ever thought that the prime minister of the UK would be a woman?
Right.
And now we see where this generation of strength came from. When we see Elizabeth as the person, right, the jealous wife, and we see this video that Philip sends home, and we see her actually look at her husband, and she's smitten by him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Crushing.
Right.
Because this is pre-learning about the Parker divorce.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And she's like looking at me. He looks different because he's grown
he's
off
the beard. He looks handsome. Yeah. But you see how her demeanor changes like it after does. She finds out about the divorce versus before.
Yeah.
Because she's looking at him on screen and I felt a little tingly on the inside for her because she's like kind of lusting
and
after him.
And she misses him, you know? Yeah. He's been gone for a long time. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Right. Hashtag
and
beard, you know? No Shave November.
Beard, he was like on his Chris Hemsworth. He was like, okay, Thor.
Playing with the baby penguins. And she was like, and I loved seeing that side of her, like kind of lusting after her husband and showing emotion.
Yeah, but it's like with him sometimes she can be angry, but she also is like a giddy schoolgirl sometimes. He has like this power over her and he knows it and he uses it to his advantage at times.
Yeah.
But it was sweet to see her like soften up and show that side again because I think she sometimes forgets that that's in her sometimes.
And we furthermore see their relationship change, as we mentioned, when the divorce of the Parkers is brought up and it becomes a scandal and he's involved because she goes reads the letters, asks Eileen to hold off and she doesn't. And when she read those letters, I have seen that face on girls who swipe left on my pictures, like, I told you not to swipe left.
It's like she was shaking her face.
Hell have no fury.
I mean, I'm like, she's going to kill Philip. That.
What I loved is that when she was being told about the situation and they were like, Mrs. Parker, she was like, no, Eileen. You know, it showed that this used to be her homie. Mm-hmm. They used to go grocery shopping together. This wasn't just a random woman. So this story really hit close to home for her.
Sure, but even at the house, Elizabeth was a little uncomfortable being there. Like, it was like normal.
Yeah, she
like,
was.
I'm not
because
touching
she's the queen
that.
Now.
I know people that come over to people's houses like that. Like, I do that.
It looked like she saw roaches.
Because she was in the living room. Yeah, she was clutching her bag in the living room like, all right now.
Yeah. But because, you know why? Because it was in Malta like back in the day. Right. She's the queen now. She's not, you know, she's not Lilibeth like she was back then.
So we see her and she pleads Eileen and Eileen, of course, denies her request and even blames her and says something to her that I feel may or may not have awoken something in her. Mm. Says, you don't even know your effect on the couples and the marriages of the people who are in your service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, she said that she held off on filing this earlier because of the situation with Margaret and Group Captain Townsend, that affair.
Yeah.
So it's like back-to-back scandals.
And she's like, some people may want to deal with the humiliation, but I won't. And Elizabeth's face.
That face. Yes. Like, that was a jab. That was
It was really a jab.
Total jab.
But she kept her composure. It's like, what are you going to say as queen? You can't go off. You know, she's very prim and proper.
Right.
And she kept her composure. But you could totally tell that like flipped a switch in her. Like,
definitely.
Okay.
It definitely did.
I can't be humiliated like this.
Flipping switches. We have a situation where now we see that the episode one beginning scene comes to fruition. We see the entirety of that scene.
The wraparound.
And it's what accumulates in this episode. We see her smitten. We see her distraught. Mm-hmm. We see her jealous. Yeah. We see her angry.
Yes.
And now we see the fifth stage of acceptance. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. And they have the conversation about the agreement.
That was tough and sad at the same time.
But I also like seeing her strong because I like the way she fights. She wasn't emotional. She wasn't crying. She was just like, listen, you're annoying. You're just complaining. Yeah, like, let's move past this. Let's be logical. She's argues in a very logical way.
She's
and another
very adult about everything.
Yeah. Like that she took charge. She's like, look, what do I have to do for you, like, to be okay for you to stay?
Right.
And he was being, you know, feeling.
It was a very Keisha Cole moment, I feel like.
Keisha Cole.
Like, every line she would throw, he's like, divorce. Can't happen. No. Nope. Like, can't work with her a little bit. But it was a little sad because you have this couple who, they were in love with each other at first. And now it's come to that point where they're now on separate ends of the couches. And she's like, what can we write in this deal? Well, what will make you happy?
And it was just a title of him becoming a prince.
Isn't that amazing?
Which is...
Well, it wasn't just the title. It's what the title meant. It's respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Right.
Because his son was a higher station than him.
That was very interesting. Right.
And he couldn't give them his last name. So, you know, he felt some type of way.
That was very interesting.
And then the employees didn't respect him as much as Philip. He was like, let them shave the mustaches off, please.
And all three of those things are great, excellent points because it was very interesting to see Philip. And now I can understand and relate. Now, personally, I would have been like, call me Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Like, I would be your side piece. This is not like
you got the life of leisure.
Exactly.
Like,
hello.
My
boo is the queen.
Right.
My kids are next in line. I'm living the life.
And we get mad at a lot of women at times as society. Mm-hmm. We get mad at women who aren't living that life. Like, well, you know, you're with Tiger. Just let him live, right?
Okay.
Like, we see that. And so it's interesting to see it flipped in that reversal and how emasculated he felt.
Right. And I think it was in this episode where he was like, you don't know the humiliation. And she was like, oh, yes, I do.
I don't know. She goes, I don't know about humiliation.
Right.
Like, and you tried it, Philip.
Yeah.
95% sure she used the word nigga. Like, 95%.
But it shows you how, like, he can't see things from her perspective. Right. He's so in his feelings and thinking about himself a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
I do get where he's coming from because he is human. And I get everything, but like you said, he hasn't looked at it from her point of view.
Yeah.
And the position she's in, that she ultimately didn't really want to be there, and it was kind of passed down to her. So it's like, you have to work with me.
Yeah.
Sahai, you mentioned last week, he was prepped for this.
Exactly.
He was. Sorry.
Her daddy told him. He agreed to it. Yeah. Also, yes, he went into the marriage thinking they were going to have a very traditional lifestyle. But you got to go with the flow. Yeah. You were. Yes. Was he not on a naval ship? Like, he should be able to go with the ups and down and move with the waves. So,
like you said, the dad, her father warned him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point where you're like, either I'm going to run or I'm going to be into this. But when the king is warning you, like, look, bro.
She's the job, yeah.
Just because she's a woman, she's about to be the queen.
Exactly.
Like, are you ready for this?
And it's like, it made your life better. Like, I mean, yes, you had added responsibilities, but y'all had you got a bigger home, traveled the world. Like, it made you have more of a
And it reinstated your power.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not like your family was still in power. And I'm not a big advocate of blaming the victim.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The victims shouldn't be blamed, and clearly, at some point, he's a victim. But the way I feel is, if you date R. Kelly now, it's your fault. Like, you knew!
To my coworker, I said, because we were talking about something random, and I'm like, if I went and date R. Kelly or Chris Brown or whoever...
Right.
Now...
You know what you're getting into.
And this is what's happening with Philip. He knew, he insisted, he thought this was going to happen. He was told it is not.
Right.
And now he has become a complaining, nagging. He has taken that role reversal that often men complain about their women. He has become that.
Yes. Right. So, and you kind of want to feel bad for Philip because he's human and you get it. But because he's nagging so much, you're like, oh, Philip, just chill.
But do you guys think his request to, I'm not sure if it was called a coronation as well, but for him to get this new title, that was a huge request. I mean, they had the whole ceremony. He looked uncomfortable, but that's a huge ask.
I mean, the look she even gave him after she crowned him, and he felt it because when he's looking in the crowd, he felt like, okay, I don't really belong, but I'm here.
When he's taking the picture, you could tell. It's like, does that really make you fully happy?
Right.
You know, was he really fully happy after he got what he wanted?
Right.
It's like there's still that emptiness or something that's in there that he's not fulfilled. Yeah.
I know. And then, was it this episode where they celebrated their 10-year anniversary?
No, that's episode.
Okay,
four,
holding
four.
On. So,
the last point about their relationship comes to the title of the episode, which is Lisbon, because that's where they are reunited, and Elizabeth is sent there a day early, and he is sent instructions on how to act and how to dress, and they are sent to the admiral and not to him.
Yeah. I'm like, can this list be sent to every man?
And that is why I called it the Keisha Cole moment.
You're going to wear this?
Must wear tie with hearts on
with heart.
It. And hat.
And
no
then you
question.
Take it off
okay.
when you're coming up.
Thank you.
And like you said, it was sent to the admiral. It wasn't even sent to him. And you can tell he was pissed off about that.
Well, she was mad, too.
He stepped on that plane and she gave... It's like she wanted to greet him because that's her husband and she missed him. But you could tell for like 2 seconds, she was like, no.
Because she was in boss mode. Right.
Yeah.
But can we talk about how he had to fire his boy?
Ooh.
Yeah, whoa. We're going to get into the Mike Parker. We're going to get into the Mike Parker. I just want to finish everything with Queen Elizabeth and Philip because that's the center of a lot of the tension and climactic parts of the episode.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that we get all that out of the way because we will discuss some Mike Parker.
Ooh, Mike Parker.
Mike Parker is forced to resign because the scandal comes out. He walks into the room and he tries to butter it up.
Like, we still good, yo. Yeah. We still good.
That's what they told me. Exactly.
We're cool, right?
And Philip, of course, has to force his friend to resign.
Smart move.
He says there's no room for scandal.
No room for mistakes. No room for scandal. No room for humanity.
Oof.
In the crowd.
That's tough.
Yeah. That's real.
That is real.
And to me, when I saw him do that, I was like, okay, now you're getting it. You also understand that, like your wife, you have to do what needs to be done to protect this position.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I also feel like, look, as a man...
the only man on the planet.
As a man, I can understand what Philip felt.
Yeah.
He got the text that said, we need to talk. Dot, dot, dot. And he's like... Look, that was a very uncomfortable go ride home. That was not just he knew he was in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
He's the letter.
He's got days to just
let
it marinate.
Look, and he thought he was good with the Christmas letter. Okay. Christmas love letter.
He was scared stepping into that plane. He tried to smile and he's like, hey. He did the, hey, boo.
Hey, big head.
She's like, let's go now. And you're right, the car ride was so uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
Because he knew. He's like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mess up.
But he did the right thing in getting rid of his friend.
Yeah.
Completely.
Of course.
There's no way they would have survived or anything.
No, not at all.
Their relationship would have survived had he had just, you know, kept his playboy, playmate.
Right.
Yeah.
And he needed to show everyone else.
Yeah.
Like,
he's serious.
Exactly. Like, you can't mess up, you know, whatever.
There were no cell phones back then.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Trouble.
What I loved also is how the ship that was just a few days prior was the party ship turned into the
monastery.
Okay.
It was so serious. They were just like,
it was sad. They were like,
they got it. He shaved. It was actually a departure, but you also see once again the redemption in Philip.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he's grown, and this is the story of Philip the Man.
Yes.
So when Philip the Man goes, we see him fire his best friend, which must have been very difficult for him. You also see them at the end have a farewell to one another, where he goes in as a friend, and Mike says, sir. He says, Philip, and Mike responds, sir.
That broke my heart.
That's tough.
That broke my heart. You know why? Because to me it represented another... goodbye for Philip. You had to say, you ain't get to say goodbye to your daddy because he done went with the mistress.
Honey.
Your mama went off to the and then your favorite sister. You know, he's already experienced so many goodbyes, and here's this one person that he trusted so much, he didn't willingly do it. He was forced to say goodbye to this person.
It's like losing all of his closest relationships.
Exactly.
And it's like Philip to himself, he feels like he doesn't have anything left.
Right.
And now he's losing one of his really good best friends that he had to because of his position in his marriage.
Right.
I think it was the best for everything.
It was. Yeah. It was.
Mike was no good. No good.
Mike was trying to live his best single life married.
Mike is right. Look. To have his cake and eat it too.
Mike
and
was a little sloppy.
Look, a mess at the end.
A mess.
Didn't know how to cook. Didn't know how. No, house was a mess. Like,
you miss Eileen, don't you?
I was like,
well, Eileen was also a center story, and we see the return of Tommy.
Yes. Tommy made a
secret mastermind.
I love Tommy.
How did you guys... First of all, were you surprised by Tommy's return? And how did you see his return?
I wasn't surprised, but sometimes when I see Tommy, I feel like something, not bad, but something is always shaking or...
It's looming.
He's always plotting something.
He makes me nervous.
And I love how calm Tommy always is. And
yeah.
I like seeing him, but half of me, I'm like, I don't know.
It's like he always knows the dirt on everyone.
Yeah.
You know? He's that guy who's going to come to her. And he's always watching out for, obviously, the crown.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth. So you know when he pops up, something's about to go down.
Yeah. He says, I have to protect them even from themselves.
Exactly.
You know, so, and like when she's seen him, she's like, either something bad is happening or...
Right.
Why are you here?
Yeah, she kind of punked him though. And she was like, oh, you're still doing their dirty work and you don't even work here anymore.
Yes.
Like, really? Mm-hmm. So, and he, and the fact that, what I... There was a part of me not knowing this full story. I thought at some point Eileen may say, okay, you know what? Right. I'm not going to divorce my husband. And when she stepped to Tommy like that, like, no, I am standing my ground. I was like, all right, girl.
She's all the way fed up. Even with the queen, she's like, no, we've been, you know, messed up for years, but I waited.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not waiting anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm fed up.
I'm done.
I'm done.
Shout out to her.
She got to her point.
Yes, she did.
She did. And that's the end of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And the scandal breaks out. And we see the foreign press jump on it. And, of course, the U.S. takes advantage of it and pushes itself as a superpower. And British is not too happy. We see a lot of all this and the culmination of all these stories. But they progress into episode 4.
Ooh,
and you think they're going to continue. But all of a sudden, we have a new story. And that story is Margaret.
Team Margaret.
Love her.
I love how you said this was like the salon, because I love when the underdog kind of wins.
Exactly.
Yes.
Margaret, the forgotten sister.
She is fun.
She's definitely, we're like, oh, let's hear about her. And she's a little too fun. We see in the picture that is in the newspaper at the end of the episode.
But
that's actually
good.
Historically incorrect.
Yes,
that picture came out in 1967, like 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But it made the point get across to us that this is the new Margaret, and she is becoming.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel her. She was dressing up as a like a little girl princess in those pictures, and she was a full woman. Like, you want to be sexy, you know?
Show these shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still drunk at 11:30 a.m.
Look,
she drinks
a lot.
A lot.
But you know
what's
so sad? Because clearly she's depressed and she's sad and, you know, she's drunk and she's doing her thing and not her family, but her mom. It's like, and I feel like that's the thing now with depression, where people sometimes don't recognize when someone is depressed.
Yeah.
And she's yelling, she's screaming for a cry for help. But unfortunately, the position that she's in and the way her family is and her mom, she's like, we're going to fix you up with another cousin. Don't you worry.
Exactly.
She's like, I don't want that.
You're going to bounce back.
I had a love of my life, and you guys kind of took that away from me. So.
I watched a documentary today, and it was just saying basically that all the attention was always put on Elizabeth because they knew she could be queen. So Margaret was just left to do to her own devices, and so no one really paid attention to her, so that's why she always acted out.
Man, I feel so bad for her.
I'm not gonna lie, the same thing we said about Philip.
Sure.
When I first started watching the show, I remember season one, I used to be like, okay, Margaret, like, you're a baby sister, you're the princess,
right?
You're living the life, you're still a princess, like, get it together.
Right.
But as time started going on and you started to see her depression because the love of her life was taken away from her, I was like, all right, Margaret.
Yeah.
Damn,
sure.
But, you know?
And I joke when I say these things because obviously we humanize,
real,
the crown
human,
humanizes all these people.
Right.
So
it humanizes all the characters.
Yeah.
But the love of her life comes back in the form of a new love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Anthony Armstrong Jones, or Tony Armstrong, who is a sexual swinger and photographer. And we find this out, and we and spoiler
and
alert,
is around the corner
and bohemian.
They get married.
Yeah,
but,
in real life. Yes.
But he's the wedding photographer at the wedding, and they make a glance at this wedding. Margaret gets engaged somehow to Billy out of nowhere.
Like, what?
I'm like, can I have a conversation like that with a guy? I just walk up to him and be like, so we're going to get engaged, right? Great. Awesome.
Well, that's not exactly. It wasn't
he was more the one that
aggressive.
Like,
yeah.
Let's do it.
And
but
she
like,
was like, wow.
Because she was saying how she felt like she was like left on the shelf. Here she is. I think at the time she was about 29 and she still hadn't gotten married, and she was known to be the party girl about town. So, and she would often have men that she kind of like hired friends that right. would come out with her. Mm. And in this documentary, it said that Margaret would always, the daylight would be coming up, the sunrise would be coming up when Margaret was coming home.
Because she was apart. She was left when she was out, and she wanted to live that life. Mm-hmm. She wanted to have a good time. Young. And it actually became part of the problems when she was married to Tony is that she would party all the time. And of course, we find out, and even in the show, it's brought up about his sexuality and his sexual exploits with other women and other men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he goes both ways, and we kind of have a hint of that in this episode. But how they get back together at the gathering when her lady of honor, who is her best friend, so to speak, mm-hmm. as friendly as you can be in these situations, she calls her and makes demands for a type of man after having a conversation with her mom. And she asks for three things. Not to own land, not to breed horses, not to know her mom.
Which I love. But then I felt like when she walked into the party, I think like Margaret just wants to be seen, and she kind of wants to just kind of be regular for like at least a night. So when she came and her friend announced her as the princess, I kind of felt bad because I'm like, I feel like she just wanted to...
She wants to be regular, and then they gave her an opportunity to be regular,
and she
was like, hello, no one knows me here.
So I think like sometimes she wants to be regular, and I think you're right, like when the attention is taken away from her, she gets a little confused, and she's like, wait, what's happening?
Right.
But like at that moment, she's like, the princess.
Yeah.
Like, right, maybe she just wanted to be a little low-key. Maybe that's just me.
Actually, I think she was taken aback by the fact that no one cared.
I think the idea of being like low-key appealed to her, but then when it happened, she was like, oh, no, this is not for me. And what I was reading today, it was the same thing with group Captain Townsend. Like, she could have married him, but she would have had to give up the throne.
That's what pissed me off about her a little bit when I read that. Like, you could have married him and lived your life. You guys would have been common folk, I guess. And you would have, you know, your title would have been taken away from you.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then I'm like, all right, Margaret.
Right.
And something said that they probably would have divorced anyway because she was the party girl and he was an older guy that liked to stay at home. He already had two kids, so it probably wouldn't have worked out yet.
But maybe she wouldn't have become the party girl. Once can't turn a bad girl good, but once a good girl gone bad.
They say you can't make a hoe a housewife. Maybe, so
I don't know, because there's a lot of women out here making hoes into housewife husbands all the time. You know,
there's a lot of housewives.
And she definitely becomes enamored with the photographer.
Yes.
Who she forgets but kind of remembers and then automatically remembers meeting or glancing at the wedding.
Or was that part of her game?
No, like, I think she was like...
She didn't really remember him.
Oh.
She was like, oh, it's you. Hey.
And he charms her at the table and they continue this conversation and she already feels something.
Yes.
So we see a contrast because in the beginning, after the breakup with Billy, and we saw that go horribly wrong, Billy is drawn into a duel and he gets injured.
I can't with Billy.
And just straight tells...
That was just not...
Straight tells Margaret... Straight tells Margaret, I cheated on you because now I'm getting attention from girls.
And I don't know what to do with it.
Now that's Hell Hath No Fury because she scorns him.
Her comeback was amazing.
Amazing.
She said, people like you don't get to insult people like me.
That's so real.
I'm going to be using that.
She said, this is the look that every woman for the next 40 years is going to give you. I'm like, I mean, girl, if you don't come through with the insult.
I'm pretty sure my ex texts me that. This is exactly the word.
I was taking notes. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I'm going to text this to the next
girl. For no reason.
For no
reason. You're just going to bust out with it. Like, this is a face you're going to remember.
I think I'm getting shirts and cups made.
Yes.
So we see that lead to the breakup, which is how the dinner comes about. Now, we see the exact flip side of the flip of who Billy is and Tony.
Right.
What do you guys overall think of Tony?
I think that he is somebody that appeals to her because he's kind of like the bad boy. He's unconventional.
Yeah.
It's like a wild hair, you know, that she's just like, let's explore this because it's something different that I haven't really been through. I don't think he's necessarily good for her. But, you know, spoiler, they get married.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of what she needed at that point in her life.
Yeah.
And it was something different, and it was something that she could kind of latch onto at that time.
She could be a rebel again because her relationship previously was rebellious. Here she goes again with another rebellious relationship with a man with a motorcycle.
Right.
He brought her to the other side of town. He has this bohemian...
He's an artist.
All these bohemian friends, and then even his living space was unconventional. So I think... I like him for her. He does allow her to be...
more free.
Yeah, there's a freedom that he allows, and that's why they work. Their rebellious spirits work together.
See, I think they work together as dating and stuff, but I don't know about when they get married.
The last 10 years, I do know that, but to play devil's advocate and to just be my real opinion, I hate Margaret and I hate him. I hate handsome Margaret. Blasphemy. And I'm like, fall into place because you are part of this bigger picture. Yeah. Mm. And I always will believe in the greater cause. Right. So I will always see that as, this is the crown. You know what you represent. You know this is the sacrifice that you have to make to be a part of this family that you did not want to give up when you had the chance because you knew better. Right. So since you know better, I do like that she's very human and drinks and she's listening to Ella Fitzgerald and which is probably rebel music at that time.
It was like pop music at the time.
It was. Yeah. And then after she comes home from the meeting with Tony, she looks like she just had, and this is in the space after the photography meeting, she looks like she had the best sex ever.
Yeah. Yeah. On the flamingos
and was just like smoking. Like,
that whole, it was so
scene before ride. Where she's depressed and she's crying and she's kicking over the furniture when she comes home and she's like, so happy. On one, and she feels like, so you sad. Just said, like, she had really great sex, and you see the contrast between her and her sister, and I thought that was pretty interesting as well. And I'm like, you know what, Margaret, I'm here for this moment. I don't know if, I mean, of course they get married, but I think he's dangerous, and I think sometimes some people need that, but as the marriage goes on, you're kind of like,
incredibly dangerous. He invites her over, and it felt very 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
She goes to the photo shoot.
It was shot so well. Like, the change, every time the color of the room changed, it was like a change in their emotions, and it heightened the sexual tension, and I
loved
that.
There was like a dance going on between
them.
There was.
Yeah.
And he gets her to show her inner self by negging her, by saying, you don't know who you are, and then brings up Peter Townsend,
which I
shows that in, and then just starts snapping away.
And he's like, "Got it." Doesn't even look through the viewfinder, nothing, and it's just like, that's a shot.
And I thought she was gonna stay and have sexy time, but she left. That's what I'm saying. She kind of knows her. She knows she's playing him, and he's playing her in a way.
Did she leave though? Because she got on that motorcycle, and they recklessly cut off, and she got home.
Yes.
And that's one thing about Margaret that we notice is that she is reckless.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, God forbid they got into an accident. I mean, because she is a princess.
Right.
But then at that moment, because she kind of reminds me of Philip, where you have two people who feel like they're
trapped.
Yeah. And they feel like they're in prison and they're two rebels. And sometimes I'm like, Philip, you need to relax. And I say the same thing for Margaret. But then sometimes I enjoy them, rebelling a little bit. And I know that, you know, they're part of this family, but they feel like they're trapped.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the moment between her and her new beau, her future husband. But then as I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, of course they got married in real life, but I'm like, obviously, well, this is a great pair. Because she wasn't prepared for the real outside life with Peter Townsend. Right. So I'm like, are you really prepared for this wildlife?
And we will find out in further episodes. Yes. We do see a stark contrast between her relationship with Tony and Philip and Elizabeth's continuing failing marriage, where they are boring, they sleep in separate beds at times. It's just the love seems like it's gone. Do you think the love will come back?
I think so, because when he made that speech at dinner and he called her Little Beth, he called her my queen, my wife, you could see that he knew all sides of her. And when he said, you know your spouse better than they know themselves, that means he's not just like living there. He's observing her and he's studying her. And I think you only do that if you love someone. So I think the love is still there.
I think
come back.
Absolutely. I mean, she doesn't really have a choice. And she wants more kids. So it's like, you know.
Some loving
guy. Yeah.
There's no divorce going on in here.
And Philip knows all sides of Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And we'll find out if we learn more sides of Elizabeth as well. Yeah. If people want to find more sides of you, where can they find you?
They can find me on all social media at Alina Vision. And that's Vision with two S's.
That's right.
Yes.
You guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
And you can find me at Say Hi Sahai. That's SayHiTsahai.
And of course, I am Taron, literally at I am Taron, all across the social atmosphere. Thank you so much for being with us each and every day, because the Netflix just puts it all out. Check us out right here with The Crown. We're talking about it. I feel like I'm living it.
Seriously.
I'm living a lifetime with The Crown. So thank you so much. Episodes 5 and 6 are next. Buzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.